I am preaching a six-week series this summer that I've titled One Thing. And I think this expression is a very important one for us as disciples of Jesus to hear, because we live in a world today that always says one more thing. Yet, as we are learning this summer, the Bible has a distinct voice that runs throughout its pages that clearly says over and over again, one thing, not one more thing, just one thing. And we're looking at these five passages in the Bible that contain this phrase to see how each one can equip us to become what I'm calling one thing disciples in a one more thing world. And the title of today's message is One Thing I Know. So we've got our new orange sign up here on the wall. There's a really interesting theory that I came across in my study this week. It's called the knowledge doubling curve. Perhaps you've heard of it. Now, what this theory states is that up until 1900, the amount of human knowledge had doubled approximately every century. Okay, so do you follow that? So every 100 years, the amount of human knowledge doubled, approximately. Then 1900 came along. Now, by the end of 1950, the amount of human knowledge was doubling about every 25 years. Then in 2000, the amount of human knowledge was doubling about every 13 months. With the explosion of the internet in 2015, that's not when the internet exploded, but as the internet exploded, in 2015, the amount of human knowledge, get this, was doubling about every 24 hours. And in 2020, that's next year, it has been estimated that the amount of human knowledge will be doubling at the rate of every 11 hours. That means you go to bed at night, and when you wake up in the morning, the amount of human knowledge has almost doubled. Experts say that we have gone through this transition. This transition has taken place in our lifetime, where we've gone from a linear growth of human knowledge to an exponential growth of human knowledge. And this is the world we live in. It's a world where over 2,500 books are published daily. In the Huffington Post, which is known as the largest blog of some 400 million blogs on the internet, publishes one blog post every 58 seconds. Knowledge is increasing at such a fast rate that it's impossible to keep up with it all. There are so many things to know. Yet in John chapter 9, this man who was born blind said, one thing I know. Not one more thing. Just one thing. And as I've done in previous weeks, I've asked myself this question over and over again. What's the one thing? What's the one thing that this man who was born blind knows? What is it? You see, as you read through in this interaction here in John chapter 9, there's a big contrast between the Pharisees' knowledge and the blind man's knowledge. You see, the Pharisees are the keepers of knowledge. They're the ones in the community who are viewed as the custodians of the knowledge of God. So they're brought in to investigate the situation. And their collective knowledge as they investigate this healing by Jesus of this man born blind, their collective knowledge decides that this act could not be from God because it happens on a Sabbath. Jesus performs three unlawful works. First, he makes clay. That's against the law. Second, he applies the clay, which was also against the law. And then third, he heals the man. And so he breaks the Sabbath, not once, not twice, but three times, and therefore he's a sinner. Now the blind man says, that may be, I don't know. I don't know as much about the law as you guys do. But the one thing I do know, Jesus has changed my life. I was blind, but now I see. You see, there are two different types of knowledge being contrasted in this story. There's what I'm going to call informational knowledge. This is what the Pharisees had. They knew the scriptures. They knew the law. In fact, most of the Pharisees had the entire Old Testament memorized. They were viewed by the community as the keepers of knowledge. Then there's what I'm going to call transformational knowledge. And this is what the blind man had. You see, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ. He knew Jesus, and this relationship had transformed his life. A couple of chapters prior to this interaction in John chapter 5, Jesus says these words to perhaps even the very same Pharisees. He says in verse 39 of John 5, "You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me." And so Jesus speaks to this contrast. They studied the scriptures. They knew the information. Yes, sir. They knew the law. They knew all the ins and outs about the Sabbath law, the hundreds of laws that had to be kept on the Sabbath in hopes that one day the entire Jewish community could keep the Sabbath perfectly. They knew all the ins and outs of the law. They had it memorized. They knew. They'd studied the scriptures diligently. They had the information. They had informational knowledge, but they refused to come to the one whose scriptures testified about, and therefore they never had the transformational knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. I love the verse in Acts chapter 4 in verse 13. There we learn about Peter and John, and they had been arrested, and they stood before the Pharisees, once again, teachers of the law, rulers of Jerusalem. I love what it says there. It says, when they, the rulers of Jerusalem, the Pharisees, teachers of the law, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, yes, sir, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. In other words, they didn't have the education that they had. They didn't have all the informational knowledge. They were uneducated. In fact, they were just fishermen. They were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Yes. You see, they didn't have the informational knowledge, but they had the transformational knowledge. They had been with Jesus, and it had changed their lives. They'd gone from simple fishermen to fearless preachers. And so, I have invited my friend Randy to speak with us this morning about this one thing that the blind man knew, what he and I are calling this morning a transformed life. Randy.
All right. Let the church say amen.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Barry, for the introduction.
Got it.
It is so good to be with your church, and I got three things I need you to do. One is, am I echoing?
No, you're good.
Am I good? Can y'all fix that, sound booth people? You own it. Okay, so I need you to do three things before we get started. First of all, I'm excited to be here. It's always good to come up and see family. It really is. And so it's just always a joy. You know, I got up here about 11:30 Friday night, decided to go to Wendy's. Here's what was crazy. So we in line, right? And so I see somebody go in. And so I'm thinking, okay, it should be open. Let's pull out a line and go in. And we could pull out a line and go in. It was one of the employees. And he locked the door as he went in. So now I'm thinking, this is not going to work. So what's the best place to go to? Taco Bell. You don't have to worry about French fries. You don't have to worry about, you just get your stuff and go. And so just don't go to Wendy's, that you already know. Okay, so it is good being with you, though. Jeremy, it was a joy being in your class. I hadn't seen you since Croatia and the baby, you know, so it was good being with you guys and watching you teach this morning. The three things I need you to do right quick is get something to write with, number one. Get you something to write with. Number two, put your seatbelts on. And then number three, Barrett, what time do I need to stop? So look at the clock. I can't see that far. So Barrett, you give me a time.
I'll let you know.
You let me know. Okay. All right. Well, it could be dangerous. But scream out when I'm done. Okay. Hey, guys, let me ask you something. I want you to think about this. This story, I don't know if you had time to read, but by the way, I've been, you know, what was so amazing about this and me being here, I was supposed to be here a couple weeks ago when we was going to do one of the other one another's, so it just didn't work out for us because I had to, at church, I had to do our membership class. So I taught, you know, for the people who want to come and be a part of our church, I taught that for 3 hours, so I couldn't come. And so when Bear said, well, that's fine, the 21st, this weekend of work, and here's what we're talking about. And it couldn't have been no perfect time than to talk about transformation. Because I know that. I know deep down inside what Jesus have done in my life. And so I want to give you 3 points that ooze out of me that we can learn from this blind man and I hope can help transform your life a little bit better in your walk with Christ. Now, if you're sitting here and you're saying, hey, this is my first time visiting. I don't know about that much about Jesus. And I may say some things that right now you may say, I don't understand all that. Well, get with the elders here, get with your leadership, get with someone that can help you come to know Christ better. Just don't, if you're visiting with us and that's what you're searching for, and God seemed to be stretching your heart a little bit this morning, and you want to know a little bit about him, find a leadership team. Find those who, and they'll get a Bible study with you and all this and that, so they'll take care of that. But just don't walk out of here without that being a part of maybe I need to hear a little bit more about him, okay? So let's dive into this right quick as I talk about this. Now, I want you to go back to really verse 8 because that's where I'm going to begin. And this blind man, this is amazing. This is an amazing story. If you go ahead and read the story, you find out that no one believes this man. Not a single person believed this transformation life. And what's so sad about it is, they knew this man's condition before he was healed. That's what baffles my mind. But no one believes. So when you begin to walk with Christ, when you begin to make changes in your life, just get ready that some people are not going to believe you. They're not going to believe you. So here's what I want us to do. Okay, so look at verses 8 through 11. And this is one of the aspects I want to show you. I'm going to give you 3 things that stands out to me about this blind man's transformation of life. Verses 8 through 11. Notice this. His neighbors and those who have formerly seen him begging asked, is this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others says, no, he only looks like him. But now notice what the blind man does. The blind man says, but he himself insisted, I'm the man. Now you imagine, his own neighbors knew that this man was born blind. They knew because they said, isn't he the one who was blind and used to beg? And they said, no. Some of them said, no, this can't be the man. So the blind man with his eyes open saying, I am the man. I am the one that has been transformed. I can see now. But notice this now. Notice this. He insisted, but notice what they did. Look at verse 10. How were your eyes open? They demanded. He insisted, my eyes been open. They demanded, well, how did this happen? Okay, you want to get deep? He says, look at verse 11. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I can see. They began to question him again. Well, where is this man? They asked. I don't know, the blind man says. He didn't stick around. What difference does it make? I can see. But they're still worried about, well, how did it all happen? Ain't this crazy? I mean, you think about it. This is just mind-boggling to me, the mindset of people who can see what is in before, what's right there before them, and they deny it. Now, who's more blind? Who's more blind? Here's number one. Point number one. A transformed life will give God glory. The blind man says, who opened up my eyes? His name was Jesus. See, a transformed life is going to give praise and glory to the one who made the transformation. And this blind man is saying, Jesus is the one who opened up my eyes. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. So remember now, I have to share this with you. I became a Christian in 1981. Through a bus ministry called Inner City, and the bus ministry was supported by Churches of Christ in Nashville. All different Churches of Christ supported it, and I grew up on the south side of town in an area called Edge Hill, and the bus used to run through my neighborhood. Well, I just happened to one day, I had a good friend named Milton, and I was just a couple years older than he was, and I knew about the buses going through the neighborhood because I used to see them on Monday nights, you know, line up out there in front of the projects. So I happened to go. And I went. And not too long after that, I gave my life to the Lord, went home, and told my family what had happened. Because when I began to go, I didn't know that much about the Bible. One of the most neat things about this, and I'll share this real quickly, was Milton, the one who was my, man, he was just my Apostle Paul. So he comes to my house looking for my brother, right? So he knocks on the door, and I tell Milton, he's not here and all this and that. So we're having a small conversation, and Milton stands at the door and turns around and says, hey, would you like to have a Bible study? Now, Milton, for the life I was living, Milton was well-respected in the projects. Everybody knew Milton. His life, we knew that he was real. Okay, you follow me? So when he asked me this, I'm thinking, I'm not going to turn Milton down. Inside of me, I'm not going to say no to this guy because I know who he is. So I said, no, I have a Bible study with you. Didn't know anything about the Bible. We studied for 2 weeks. And April the 6th of 1981, I was baptized into Christ. Now watch this now. So when I go home and express what had happened to me, my family ripped into me like I was crazy. I literally, as a grown man at that time, I literally cried myself to sleep because they didn't believe me. It's almost like, you really talking about following God? You? They didn't believe me. And I cried myself to sleep. But I kept living. Now, I'm just telling you up front, when this happened, don't be surprised that nobody believes you. Let's look at point number two. Point number two comes out of verses 13 through 15, and I love this. So what was point number one? When a transformed with a transformed life, we'll do what? Give glory to God. Now look at this next one, verses 13 through 15, quickly. They brought to the Pharisees the men who had been born blind. Now they're going to take them to the religious leaders, okay? Now, that day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the men's eyes was the Sabbath. Barrett talked about that. Therefore, the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. Well, he put mud on my eyes. He's repeating it again. The men replied, and I washed, and now I see. Same story. Same testimony. See, the degree of his testimony didn't change because of who was in front of him. First, it was just normal people. Then they said, well, let's take him to the big boys. Maybe he'll lie to them. Take him in front of the big boys. He said, same thing happened. Jesus changed my life. He put this on my eyes. I went and washed, and now I see. Well, what did they do? Okay? What do they do? Watch this. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Talking about Jesus. The man is, this just tears me up when I read it. But the others asked, well, how can a sinner do such a miraculous sign? At least they had some gall to kind of like almost get there. They're saying, wait a minute, if this man is born blind, how can the man who opened his eyes be a sinner? That's what they're basically asking, you know. And so listen to this right here. Listen to this right here. I love this. But others said, how can a sinner do such a miraculous sign? So they was divided. They was divided over this. So let me quickly give you point number two. This is what I love about this. Number one is a transformed life will give God glory. Number two, a transformed life cannot give praise to itself. See, the reason the man's testimony is still the same is because he cannot give praise to himself. See, he didn't open up his eyes. He can't say, I did this on my own. I went and washed and all of a sudden now I see. See, the transformation is outside of him. So with a transformed life, I can't give praise to myself as if I cleaned myself up. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Your sin and my sin had to be dealt with. We couldn't fix ourselves up. You follow what I'm saying? We had to give ourselves to the cross, to the life of Jesus Christ. And so in that, this transformed life that you have and I have, we can't sit back and say, I clean my own self up. I'm the one who made this transformation. No. That don't work. Here's why. Here's why, church. See, if I begin to give praise to myself, who I take away the glory from? You follow what I'm saying? And you think I want to do that? You think I want to live up under that? You think I want to go back to what Jeremy was teaching us this morning to where all of a sudden that I'm going to do my own thing? And God says, listen, if you follow my law, you're going to be blessed this way. If you rebel, guess what? I'm coming after you because you're my son. I got to transform life. And I didn't have anything to do with it other than to accept what Christ done for me. It's outside of me. So, quickly now, number two was what? A transformed life cannot what? Give praise to itself. You cannot heal yourself from your sin. And see, the thing about this is that, here's the thing. See, a lot of times when we're talking to people and when I'm sharing the gospel with people, what they want to do is they want to kind of like begin talking about how bad off or how good off they may be. And I tell people, God is not just after, you know, your good and your bad. He wants everything about you. Well, I struggle with this and I'm this and all that. It doesn't matter. He wants the whole person. Transformation takes place with the whole person. Not just half of you. He wants all of you. Now, number three, 25 through 28. Listen to this. Is this making sense, church? All right, so listen to this, 25 through verse 38. Let me get over here. When you get there, let me know by saying amen. Amen. All right, listen to what he says now, because we're jumping down. Listen to what he says right here. The blind man says, he replied, whether he is a sinner or not. See, stop right there. See, the whole thing about this is they arguing over, is Jesus a sinner? Why would we do this on this day, right? The blind man is cutting through all of that. He said, it don't make no difference what the man is to me. All I know is nobody couldn't do what he just did for me. I've been walking around here blind, and you knew it, and now I was the same guy who sit right here and beg for your money, and you gave me money, and now you're going to tell me whether this man is a sinner or not? It don't matter to me. I'm telling you, my eyes are open, and I can see you. You discuss that in your theology class. That's what you go back and do. But as for me, I'm going to give this man praise and glory, okay? And so here's the thing. This is going back to my testimony here. I can't explain to my family how he done it. All I know is that I've been transformed. Now, let me just quickly tell you this. This is so important. The first person that I brought to the gospel was my dad. Later on, it was Sheila. Think about this. I go to an inner city camp, like Jack Parker is probably going to this weekend, and I remember the director, Lytle Thomas, he was preaching on the resurrection. He was teaching us on the resurrection at camp. Man, I'm sitting there with my Bible, and Milton, this is one thing I always learned about Milton. I don't wear blue jeans no more because I know what I would do to him. Milton would always make notes on his blue jeans. And I wore blue jeans for a while because I made notes on mine. But after a while, you know, they kind of fade and you walking around, ink going all down your leg. The brother's like, man, what's on your slacks, you know? So I learned how to write on my, make notes in this. But here's the thing. Now, keep in mind, I'm a fairly, my transformation taking place in April. This is June of that same year. I go to this camp for the weekend. And man, I learned about the resurrection, y'all. And I'm telling you, it opened up my eyes to where it was like, I cannot believe this. This is just unbelievable. I'm learning more and more. So I go home, and my dad, who always would sit up under this tree in the summertime and drink his beer. So I got off the bus right in front of my house, threw my luggage and stuff inside the house, went down there, and I said, Dad, you ain't gonna believe this. You're not gonna believe what I learned this weekend. If he had asked me to turn to the chapter and verse, I would have not known where anything was. That's how ignorant I was. But I knew, man, this story is too good to keep to myself. I went down there, and I said, Dad, let me tell you what I learned this weekend. I had a lot of fun. Now, you know, just being in the woods sometime, that's not my thing. But I began to share with him about how, like, man, Jesus transformed our lives by the resurrection. He came up out of the grave. And I'm spewing all of this into my dad. And my dad is sitting there like, drinking his beer, not saying a word. It's almost like he was about ready to pat me on the head. He said, oh, it's almost like one of those things. That's okay, son. That was very good that you learned that. That was on a Sunday. We're sitting at breakfast on a Wednesday. And my dad says to me, I'm ready to give my life to Christ. And I took him out to Redna Church of Christ, where we kept all the inner city buses during that time, and I baptized my father. Now, you tell me God ain't good. I had a transformed life. Now, how he went in and did all that, I don't know. But all I know is that he did it. Listen to this. This is the third point. The man says he don't know. Now, look at verse 27 quickly. He answered, I told you already. Now, listen to this man. He's getting a little upset about this because they're not believing his testimony. Notice he said now, he answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? Notice what they said. And they hurled insults at him, saying, you are this fellow disciple? We are disciples of Moses. Now they're going to kind of notch it up a little bit. You this guy's disciple? We're disciples of Moses. I wish the blind man would just had enough knowledge to go back and say, let me tell you something. The Moses that you serve is the same Moses that he created. The same Moses that you're talking about, Jesus is greater than him because he created Moses. I wish he had the knowledge to say that to him. Now, here's what I want you to learn about point number three. Point number one was what? A transformed life will do what? Number two, we cannot give praise to itself. Now, this is the one I like right here. Number three, a transformed life is not ashamed of what God have done. See, when you get a transformed life, you're not going to hide it. It may take some time for you to grow up in it, but you won't be ashamed of it. You hear what I'm saying? Think about it. I just use me and Sheila's relationship. Just think about this. Just think about it. We've been married 34 years, okay? Now, imagine me talking or going to my job at Crystal Springs, and I've been there 20 years, and nobody never heard me talk about my wife. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, she's got to come to my job for something. And all of a sudden, she walk in, and all of a sudden, somebody said, well, who is this right here? Oh, this is Sheila, my wife. We didn't know you were married. We've been working here 20 years and we didn't know that. Now, how crazy that would be. How would she feel? Now, imagine on that level how Jesus feels when I had my testimony about how he has changed my life. I'm ashamed to mention him. I'm ashamed to talk about this transformation that took place in my life. And I'm ashamed of Jesus. Is that where we got to? To where we don't open up our mouths or do anything to where people notice that? Turn to Mark chapter 10. I'm closing with this thought right here. Mark chapter 10. I think it's in Mark chapter 10. Where's Mary? Where's Mary and Martha? It's in Luke, right?
Luke 10.
Yep. Luke 10. Yeah, I want to get to Mary and Martha. I want to show you something here. This is beautiful. I love this because we're dealing with the one thing, right? The one thing. This blind man says, it's the one thing I know. You guys can discuss and do all that. All I know is that my life has been transformed. I can see. And I know that this man changed my life. And you want to keep talking about him? Do you want to become one of his disciples? See, the progress of his testimony kept notching up. They went with the little group, then they brought him in with the big boys. And then all of a sudden he says to the big boy, I've already told y'all this once. I'm going to tell you again. What, do you want to become one of his disciples? And that was a stab to them. You insist, well, we're disciples of Moses. Sit down somewhere. I'm getting fired up. Hold on. So... Look at this. Mary and Martha, right? Barrett already talked about this, but I want you to see something in here that is so key. And we don't have to repeat it, but I want you to look at verse 42, right? And then I'm sitting down. Verse 42 of Luke chapter 10 says this. But only one thing is needed. Jesus is talking. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I just want to close with this thought. In my transformed life and in your transformed life, one thing that you need to know, and that is this, just like with the blind man. I'm locking on with the blind man. You can say what you want to say, but it won't be taken away from him. You can say what you want to say about my life. You can say whatever you want to say and think whatever you want to say. But Jesus said, one thing you need to know, it won't be taken away from him. It won't be taken away from him. Keep talking about me, Randy. I sure will, Lord. I sure will. Now, I'm going to be wise, and I'm going to use the knowledge and wisdom that he has given me because, I just want to be at the right time, at the right place, and making sure I'm doing the right things in order to make him look good and glorify him. See, that's the chief end of man. That's the chief end of man, right? To live and glorify God and live with him forever. That's the chief end of man. So I'm going to live and glorify him. And in the end, we're going to enjoy him together. But if you want this transformation life, if you have this transformation life, you're going to have to give God glory. Number one, you can't hide no more. You can't hide no more. Number two is you can't give praise to yourself. See, no, it makes no difference how long I've been a Christian. I still can't fix myself up. I still can't make myself look good. And then last, you don't need to be ashamed of them. You don't need to be ashamed of them because Jesus said it won't be taken away from you. Barrett, come on up, my brother,
yes,
before
sir.
I get started again.
Thank you, brother. I love preaching with Randy. Just to kind of give you a little background, so the way we do this, there's no real great science to it. He prepares, I prepare, and then he and Sheila usually get in pretty late on Friday night, and then we get up on Saturday morning with a big pot of coffee, and we just let the Holy Spirit work, and it's awesome. And man, we had several really good hours out on the back porch yesterday morning. And the takeaway for me, my main takeaway from that time with Randy yesterday morning, is that in Scripture, whenever someone has an encounter with Jesus Christ, it changes their lives. It changes their lives. You cannot meet Jesus and remain in neutral. And, well, the blind man is just a great example of that. Well, you know, in one of the most probably celebrated examples of that in the New Testament is the transformation of the apostle from Saul to Paul, right? That's the one that, because, man, then this guy writes most of the New Testament, and it's just like, wow, this transformation is amazing. And it's just so powerful to read, you know, in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, where Saul, he's destroying the church. He's going from house to house. He's dragging off men and women and putting them in prison. And then in chapter 9 of Acts, we read that he's still breathing out murderous threats to the Lord's disciples. But then something happens to him. Something happens to him on the way to Damascus. He meets Jesus, and it changes his life forever. Randy and I laughed yesterday morning as we thought about what Saul might have said if one of his traveling companions had asked him what exactly happened on the road to Damascus, because his response would have been the exact opposite of the man born blind. Saul would have said, "One thing I do know, I could see, but now I'm blind." His life had changed just as dramatically in the opposite direction, but the point is the same as in John 9, an encounter with Jesus Christ had changed his life. Tradition tells us that Paul was beheaded in Rome. Tradition tells us that Peter was hung on a cross upside down. Tells us that John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, had a rope tied around his neck, and he was dragged behind a chariot through the streets of Alexandria until he died. And my question is, what did they know? They didn't die in that way because they knew a bunch of information. That's right. Peter knew one thing. Paul knew one thing. Mark knew one thing. The man they called Jesus had changed their lives forever. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this one thing that we know as disciples of Jesus. And Lord, my prayer today is through your Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing, you know, This could just be information to somebody today. Oh, wasn't that a good sermon? We enjoyed hearing those stories that Randy shared. That's some real good information. And it not have any effect on their lives. Have the word open to them, and it just be some additional informational knowledge. But I pray, Father, through your Holy Spirit, that being present in this place, being present in your people, being present in your word, that transformational knowledge will have been gained today. That people, Lord, will leave here knowing that their lives have been transformed by Jesus Christ. So thank you for the transformation life that we have in Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. This morning, the invitation is for anyone here who has not claimed that life, right? Jesus offers that life to you today. And if you have never claimed that life, we would love for you, for this to be the day for you to say that I want that transformed life that Jesus has to give to me. We would love for you to be a part of you putting your faith in Christ today, being baptized into him. We're going to sing a song of invitation. Let's stand together and sing.